That reading is from the New International Version, and the text I've taken from the English Standard Version. And the ESV, the King James Version, and the modern King James use the word seek, what he is seeking. It's basically the same as what we just had read. It's a quote from Jesus, and it was said to a couple of John the Baptist disciples when they were following Jesus. The two disciples having just been told by the Baptist that Jesus was something special, the Lamb of God. That's a title like saying the Messiah or the Son of God, so it's an important title then. Obviously, those disciples were following Jesus for a reason, which is why he turned and asked them this question: what are you seeking? However, don't get the idea that he didn't know why they were following him. He understood people, so he was far more likely to be asking them the question because he wanted them to focus on why they were seeking him. Clearly, that day changed their lives because both of those men later became apostles of Jesus. That question then led towards a change in their understanding of the world as they knew it. It is, of course, something that quite a few people here understand as being important. Not to put too fine a point on it, that question, what are you seeking, can lead to genuine changes in your life if it hasn't already done so. Meeting up with Jesus then changes lives. As St. Paul discovered later on the road to Damascus, and as I discovered in a much smaller way on a certain Scottish island in August 1973. Now, everyone's searching for something. Usually they want peace of mind. The snag about that comment is that what brings a person peace of mind varies. It's even possible that what brings one person peace of mind might not bring peace of mind to another. By which I imply that what brings peace of mind to one person might well bring anything but peace to the mind of certain others. Imagine a person who's trying to do his or her best for a particular business that they work for. To bring peace of mind to that person might mean that they need to work for the firm in such a way that it makes a profit, and the larger the profit, the better. The day I wrote that was the day after a certain fuel company posted a huge profit statement. Draw your own conclusions about whether that brought peace of mind to you or not. If you drive a car, then I suspect that the answer might be a negative. If you're a shareholder, your approach might be different. Life gets complicated sometimes. That was just an example of how it might work out, of course. So, what are you searching for in coming here this Sunday morning? If you accept the statement that everyone's searching for something, then you must be here for a reason, whether you realise it or not. And that reason will have an effect on your life one way or another. Once upon a day, as an example, it was the custom for people to attend church on a Sunday. That's far less likely to be the reason that you're here now. So if you are here for a reason like that and have no belief that God is real, then perhaps you are here because God himself wanted you here. So ask yourself why he might want you to be here. Now that's a thought worth thinking about. Perhaps you are here because you're in business and want to be seen by possible customers. That too is less likely these days, but it was a reason for some people to attend church back in the 1950s, believe it or not. What might be a reason for church attendance is this one. Perhaps you're here this morning because you're wanting to support a member of the family. You might have no faith yourself, but they might have. To all of those here now who are not so sure that God is real, then consider this. If God is real, as I believe, then he's interested in you. This is something that I've preached on before, so that concept might be one that you've come across previously. And probably, if you've heard that idea before, whether because I've preached it to you or not, then you've rejected the idea that God is real, if you still have no faith of your own. So then, to all who are unsure of God's existence, I would say this. Ask him to show you that he is real. He has the power to prove his existence to you, but he's chosen to show himself only to those of you who want him to. You get a choice. So ask him to prove himself to be real and mean it. Just one more thing before we leave this section. God works in his own time, so be prepared to wait for a time of his choosing before he gives clear evidence of his reality. I had to wait for years before I truly came to believe. It was so gradual. Now to everyone else, that is, to those who hold to this faith, I would say, welcome, brother, or welcome, sister, as the case may be, for that is what you are. Anyone who has faith that Christ is real is a member of my family, or possibly I'm a member of theirs. No matter who or what you are, no matter, for example, what gender you happen to be, or even what gender you happen to choose, no matter what colour you are, and for most of us who are white, then keep in mind that Jesus was not white, despite being portrayed as such in so many paintings. What is more, you remain part of our family, no matter what you might have done, no matter what you think about, for that matter. Unless you change and reject Christ, that's different. But curiously, if you believe in Jesus as being the Christ, then chances are that something in your life will need to change. What is true of me is that something in my life also needs to change, whether I know what it is or not. Perfection is impossible to achieve for us. So if you truly think that nothing needs to change in your life, then that's your opinion, and you might well be wrong. For if you believe that nothing in your life needs to change, then you're actually claiming to be perfect. Only God is perfect. We are not. It's God who decides. He decided to send Jesus to this earth to set people free, free from sin. Now, sin is a subject that people intensely dislike these days. No one save Jesus has ever got everything right. And even if you feel right in everything you've ever done or thought, you could still have inherited a sinful approach from your parents. I certainly did. Since Adam and Eve, there has never been anyone born who was without sin, with a single exception. Jesus, the Christ. He got it right in God's sight, all the way through his life from conception onwards. So using the word properly for once, Jesus truly was unique. And he still is, as shown by his resurrection. Study his teachings. Does he come across to you as being anyone who was unwise? Probably not. Yet he knew he would die on the cross like an executed criminal. He also knew that he would come back to life again under his own power. No one else has done that at all, ever. Yet he knew what would happen to him, and he still went on forward. That might seem unwise to some. Just in case you're wondering what I'm trying to say this morning, then, consider this. Lynn and I have been married for a long time now, and we both have a relationship with the Lord that exceeds our relationship with each other. I asked. Our relationship with the Lord is something that neither of us would want to give up. Rather, the reverse. It's the best thing we have. So what am I trying to say this morning? I'm trying to get you to see that you also have the chance of a relationship with the Lord. He's the best you can get. But that's no surprise. That is what the Lord wants with each one of us, a relationship with him. So what are you seeking? If it's anything less than a good relationship with him, then change your life around and search for him. Then go one better. Seek a great relationship with him. If you ask him how to do that, any of it, then he will tell you, because he wants the best for you. He loves you. But in the meantime, remember that he's already given us some information about how to improve our relationship with him in a series of writings called the Bible. So seek a good relationship with him. Then go out and tell others about him, so that they get a good relationship with him too. And if that means that you and they end up with a relationship with him that is better than the one that I have, great. And if that means that you, and that's plural, end up with a relationship with him that is better than the one that Lynn has with him, then better still. Neither of us is perfect. Of course, there's a downside. There's always a downside. They killed Jesus, God's own son, because he upset the people that had power. If you end up with a great relationship with the Lord, then you might have such people wanting to get rid of you too. Your very presence will even affect other people, even if you say nothing to them, as it did with Eric. He lived and worked in Pendle all his days, so he was a local man. He was an engineer. He worked at one stage in a drawing office until the firm chose to start working on nuclear submarines. Those in authority within the firm asked him about this, and he said that he preferred to work back on the shop floor as long as he could avoid working on machines which were intended to kill others. The firm, being reasonable, agreed. He was a good worker who'd been with them for ages, please note. A few weeks later, he saw someone who'd remained in that office, and they told him that since he had left, it was no longer the same working there. The men in that office had taken to standing around in groups telling jokes to one another, dirty jokes. This had never happened whilst Eric had been in there, as the men had realised that Eric wouldn't like it, despite the fact that he'd never spoken on the subject to any of them. Your very presence will affect other people, even if you say nothing to them. Although you ought to say something if your life changes, and the effect that you will have will be good or bad accordingly. What are you seeking? Perhaps I should ask, who are you seeking? There is only one Messiah, after all. Christianity is not about right and wrong, for we're all wrong. It's not about whether God is real, even. It's about your relationship with the Lord. Do you believe that the Lord of all this earth is good? Yes. Then you have the beginnings of a working relationship with him. Improve on it by following what he says. Do you listen to the things he says in the Bible? Yes. Well, take care. You become a particular target the instant you believe. Satan believes in God and he has a relationship with him, just not a good one. Satan's the enemy of God, so he believes that God is real. He hates God. And he even knows what is in the Bible, please note, for he quoted from it when trying to tempt Jesus. Of course, these days, people are often far too sophisticated, they think, to believe that God is real and that Satan is also, which plays right into the hands of the enemy. If you accept the reality of one, you need to accept the truth of the other being real too. Put simply, when Jesus met up with Satan, who talked? Either Jesus told his disciples a deliberate lie when he was on about Satan, or he told the truth. If he told the truth, then Satan is real. Satan's been trying for a long time to convince everyone that he's not real, so the chances are that he wouldn't mention the battle at all, especially when you consider that he lost, if Jesus told the truth, like I believe he did. And if Satan is real, as I've just described, then he's working to damage us, spiritually in particular. That's why I suggested that all of us need to take care. Even people who do not believe in God at all can be aware that there's a spiritual element to the world. So, what are you seeking? Are you seeking for a better relationship with the Lord? That's a positive move. Are you seeking for the truth? The truth will set you free, after all, even from situations and problems that you didn't think applied to you. Andrew and John found that out when they followed Jesus. They were searching for the true Messiah, the one that the Old Testament had testified about, the one that most Jews are still waiting for, the one who can change lives. He changed their lives, why not ours? Do you believe that your life needs to change? Well, it does, whether you believe it or you don't. If you're married, then ask your spouse whether you need to change. Otherwise, ask someone who knows you well. My life needs to change. I know that. It will still need to change when I take my final breath, even though it's likely that I will allow the Lord to continue the process of changing me for all the time that's left to me. Yes, that does mean I need a lot of changing. You'd expect that, especially if you think about the perfection of God. We're all a long way short of his perfection, whether we realize it or not. Which means that if he is perfect, then we can learn from him about what we should do if we want to be better than we are. I suggest that what we should do is what those two disciples did years ago. We should set out to follow Jesus. for he's the Son of God. And the evidence for that is very real, should we think about it. And Jesus said this about what your priority in life should be. He said, it's Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And that sums it all up. Those two disciples of John the Baptist, Andrew and John, started to follow Jesus once the Baptist had pointed Jesus out to them. Jesus turned, looked at them and asked, "What are you seeking?" They sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But they may not have been aware of that at the time. You came here today for exactly the same reason. If you came to worship the Lord, then that has to be true. Those two disciples ended up facing situations that they'd never expected. Had the Jewish authorities been asked at that time, they would have suggested that those same authorities had found the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For they set out, they thought, to follow God's law quite rigidly. But they were not following that law. They were following what people said God's law was about. And people can get things wrong, for they get misled. And there's a lot of misleading stuff out there. Get it clear in your mind then. We all need to be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not our ideas of that, but his. Which means that we all need to have a great relationship with him so that he can tell us the first move that we need to make from now. Start or keep seeking. Amen.